So today's Torah portion, Parshat Truma, contribution. I mean, the name is already so interesting, name of this Torah portion, Parshat Truma, contribution. Today we will read one of the most detailed Torah portions about the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle of Moses, of Moshe. I believe personally, this is one of the most detailed scriptures in the Torah that speaks of building the Kegilah, the congregation of believers, of us, the congregation of believers. First of all, let us start with very important foundation for all of us. We need to remember that the Lord called us into His kingdom not to be spectators. I was only once in America on a football field, and I saw that how it happened. And it's such a great thing to be spectators. Because you know how it's supposed to be. And you can say, why are you so slow there? You need to run faster. Why are you doing wrong? So we can know everything out there. But the Lord called us into His kingdom not to be spectators, not to be people outside of the field of action, but to be part of His work on this earth. This is our calling. This is our calling. Let us look at history very briefly. During the Middle Ages, the theologians developed a theory regarding two kinds of believers. The parishioners or visitors, and the priesthood. It was developed, that is such a great, such a big theory. They divided all believers into those two categories. Ones who have a connection with God, know His will, and have the right to serve Him, and those who would not know anything and cannot communicate with God directly without the help of priesthood. But according to the scriptures, Yeshua established a new priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It is about us, all of us. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, Mazel Tov, Mishpacha. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people of God's own possession. You are not a spectator. You are not a visitor. You right on the field of action right now. We need to understand that each of us is a priest and servant in the eyes of the Lord. Even if you don't see it, in the eyes of the Lord, you are priest, a priest. So with this understanding, let's read the passage from the Torah chapter with this understanding. And again, the name of this chapter is Truma, contribution or offerings. So let us open Exodus chapter 25. And I would like to ask you to open these places and look with me together. Exodus 25, we'll read a few verses. Verse 1, 2, verse 8, and verse 22. This is specific key verses from this Torah portion. Exodus 25, verse 1 and 2. Adonai said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to take up a collection for me, accept a contribution from anyone who wholeheartedly wants to give. Verse 8. Have them make a sanctuary for me, so that I may dwell among them. And verse 22. I will meet with you there. I will speak with you from above the atonement cover, from between the two cherubim that are on the Ark of the Testimony, about all that I will command you for Bnei Israel, sons of Israel. So, what exciting and instructive part of the Bible this is. So let's read it verse by verse and learn the lessons for us today. So verse 2. Tell the people of Israel. Let's say it again. Tell the people of Israel. Very easy to say. But it is so important to understand. The Lord gives his commandment to bring the offerings to the building of Mishkan, the tent of meeting. It was the commandment. It was not a suggestion. You can do that or you can't do that. It's up to you. It was a commandment from the Lord. And the essential part here is that the Lord commands, do not to bring a useless and cheap offering, but the best they had to offer. The following verses tell us what kind of offering they were to bring. Gold, silver, bronze, oil, fine linen. Those were expensive things with meaning and great value to the people of Israel. So please pay attention that Adonai's instructions are very specific. Moses is to accept a contribution from anyone. In Hebrew, called Ish, which means every man, or it can be translated as everyone. Whether young or old, rich or poor, Jew or from the nations who left Egypt with the Israelites, it doesn't matter to the Lord. He accepts everyone's offering, which I think is exciting, is a great thing. But there is one essential condition here, essential, important condition. The giver must wholeheartedly want to give. So can you see here? You are to accept all contribution, but do not accept from people who doesn't want to give. Do not accept from them. Only from those who are wholeheartedly wants to give. From Hebrew, Nadav means to incite, make willing to bring a sacrifice, and Lev means heart. So wholeheartedly can also be understood as an offering of the sacrificial heart. And here we come to the point of my message today. Can you see the difference here? It was not important to the Lord how wealthy the person was and how much gold he could bring to the tent of meeting. That was not important part. The most important was the sacrificial heart. The heart is the actual offering unto the Lord. The heart. Wow. Everything different right now. The heart is the offering. When we correctly understand how the Lord looks at on offerings to him, then we realize that it is not about money, but our hearts, whole lives, time given to the Lord, and his work of saving people on this earth. Everything about our hearts. Then we can understand the story of the poor widow who brought an offering to the temple. Luke 21. Verse 1 through verse 4. Luke 21, 1 through 4. I know some people don't like to read this place of Scripture, but I like it. It's an important place. Luke 21, 1, 4. And when you will read it, please, can you paint a picture of imagination in your mind? Just paint the picture, what happened there. Then Yeshua looked up and saw the rich dropping their gifts into the treasury box. He also saw a poor widow dropping into small copper coins. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all the rest. For all these put in their gifts from their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. So, literally everything. She puts everything. So imagine this picture. Yeshua is sitting at the treasury. Here's the people coming to the temple, and he's sitting right there in the treasury, where people who came to worship put offerings, and he carefully counted who put and how much. Wow, what a picture. Yeshua is sitting there and looking carefully. When I read it, I understand something. He had the right to do so because it was the temple built in his honor. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord. It was his temple. It was his house. He is the chief there. So he's sitting there and counting. I can see this picture right now. In my opinion, by doing this, he showed that our offerings and tithes are important for the Lord. And he's closely watching how faithful we are. I think this way. From this passage in the New Testament, we can see that many of those who brought their gifts to the temple did so in order to keep commandments, and for them it was a religious routine. Every week or every month, religious routine. And therefore, Yeshua did not judge people who came to the temple to worship. It wasn't judgment. It wasn't judgment. But he showed the true value of this ministry in God's eyes. His task was to show the real thing, the true meaning of the giver, giving. The actual value is faith, trust in God, humility, and our essence dedicated to the Lord for the service. So just think about for a moment. This poor widow gave everything to support the ministry to the Lord. It was her desire. She decided to do so. Nobody pushed her. He didn't push her to come and give everything. She decided to serve the Lord, and she brought everything to the Lord. Everything, literally everything. She brought her heart, her life. She brought her future. She brought her tomorrow to the Lord. It was everything she had. And I'm sure that the Lord didn't leave her hungry. I'm sure. I'm pretty sure. I don't know why it is so quiet here, but something important going on. What do you think? It is so important. So let's go back to the Torah chapter, today's Torah chapter. So the commandment to Moses was to receive Terumah offering, the best the giver can give, from any of those whose hearts compel them to give. This passage from the scriptures so blesses me because it reshapes our understanding of our ministry to the Lord. It goes so deep in our hearts. And now I would like to share the secret. We like to share the secrets. This is a very important secret. Don't tell anyone. The Lord is not a poor God. He is not a poor God. He not in need and looking for anyone who will be merciful for him. And he is not looking for charity from anyone. Mm-mm. He is an awesome God. The master of the universe, who creates gold and all the other riches of this world. He is the master of this world. He does need charity. He is rich in mercy. He is rich in mercy and lavish in love. And it is our great privilege to minister to him by bringing him our hearts and our lives. Verse 8, this is the key about the Terumah. Have them make a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them. This is an interesting verse here. Some people read it this way. Some people. Not me, but some people. I'm sorry, I'm joking. So God commands to build a Mishkan, the tabernacle of Moses, so that the Lord can have a place to live. It looks like he doesn't have a place to live. Please build something for me. I would like to live with you. Or please, may I live with you? Can you build something for me? I'm so tired. I want to live with you. It is not about this thing here. In ancient Egypt, the common understanding was that an idol or God with a small letter needed to have a place to live. So it was necessary to build a place to put an image there, because these small gods, they're supposed to live somewhere. And in the following chapters of the Torah, we will find the story of when Aaron and the Israelites built a golden calf an idol and worshipped him. It is the next chapters. We remember that the Jewish people lived in Egypt for more than 400 years. And so they were raised in Egyptian culture and Egyptian beliefs. They carried Egypt in them, with them. They were convinced that the deity could be built and carried around, but that he needed a place to live and store sacrifices for food. But let's see what the Lord says about himself, whether he needs a house or a temple in order for him to have a place to live or not. Let us open Isaiah 66, verse 1. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Here's the important part. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. We need to understand these things. So, here's the Lord. Heaven is my throne, says Adonai, and the earth is my footstool. Barna, can you show footstool, please? We have footstool in the house. Yeah. So heaven is my footstool. Yeah. Thank you so much. And the earth is my footstool. What kind of house could you build for me? What sort of place could you devise for my rest? Didn't I myself make all these things? This is how they all come to be, says Adonai. So our Lord is great and almighty, living in the heavens of heaven. The earth is so tiny that the Bible compares it with a footstool for the Lord. It is so tiny, the whole earth. If this is so, and the Lord does not need a house to live in, then why does he command his people to build the tabernacle for him? This is the question for us. And the answer is verse 8. So have them make a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them. Okay, here's the revelation. And also, do not tell anyone this mystery. The Lord does not need a house. And he commands to build a tabernacle so that the Israelites can enter his presence and commune with him there. It was not for him. It was for them. The tabernacle of Moses was needed not by the Lord, but by the Jewish people. When they built the tabernacle, they were making the holy place for themselves so that they could fellowship with the Lord. Do you see the difference here? How important it is to understand that when we do the will of the Lord, when we build our synagogue, serve the Lord in this place, we build a place to meet with the Lord here, receive answers from him, worship him, and enjoy his love. We need this place. We needed this place. That is what we need first and foremost. I want to repeat this truth because it is essential for us to understand. Adonai commanded the people to offer what they consider to be the best, the most valuable, the most significant. The whole point was not to offer their money or possessions, but the Lord wanted them to bring their hearts, lives, time, and talents to him so he could live among them. He wanted their hearts, not just money, but their hearts. The tent of meeting was a sacrifice of their lives. They were to build it not merely of gold, but by their own very hearts. This is the meaning of the tent of meeting. Moses and the Israelites built the tabernacle, later the temple, Beit HaMikdash, out of their sensitivity and obedience to God. And that tabernacle became the ark of their salvation. Amen. It became a holy place with a holy purpose to allow them fellowship with the Lord. So, very practical thing. When we build this place together, we build the place for the Lord to rest with us, to be with us. When we bring our hearts here, we allow the Lord to touch us, to change us, to work in us. It is so important to understand. Verse 22, I will meet with you there. I will speak with you from above the atonement cover, from between the two cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, about all that I will command you for Bnei Israel. Amen. In this verse from the Bible, the Lord reveals the very essence of why He created His people, for which He brought them out of Egypt. I will meet with you. I will speak with you. Amen. And again, I don't know, but Shabbat, it is the best time for me. I love to be here. First of all, because I see you here, and it's good for me. I love you so much. But most important, the Lord is here. I mean, is it joyful for you? It is joyful for me. Sometimes I think, okay, I will minister to the Lord and He'll be pleased with me. Yeah, He'll be pleased with you. You do it because you love Him. And also you build place for yourself to be. It is your family. It is your Mishkan, your temple. Amen. I build it also because I want my David to be here, my son. To grow, to be part of this beautiful, beautiful place of God. Amen. For fellowship, for a living relationship with humanity, for people to return to their Heavenly Father. This is the purpose of Mishkan, the tent of meeting. So finally, I would like to look at how we can apply the lessons of this Torah chapter today. Finally, it doesn't mean that it's the last place of the scriptures. It just means we're coming to the final point here. So the Bible teaches us that the tabernacle of Moses and the Jerusalem temple are only types, shadows of the future. Hebrews chapter 9, let us open Hebrews chapter 9, 11 and 12. Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. Here is the interesting understanding from Rabbi Shaul. But when Messiah appeared as Kohen Gadol, or high priest, of the good things that have now come, passing through the greater and more perfect tent, greater and more perfect tent, not Moses' tent, but greater and more perfect. Not made with hands, so that it is to say not of this creation. He entered into the holies once for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. And his tent, it is him. He is the tent. And we are his body. We are his tent. The Mishkan, the tent of Moses, gives a prophetic picture of the future, the most beautiful tabernacle in the world, made from the living stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Messiah Yeshua. And living stones together. Elsewhere in Scripture, Yeshua is to become the chief cornerstone of this future tabernacle. So this is everything about Yeshua. Everything about Yeshua. Our synagogue is about Yeshua the Messiah. We believe in Him, we trust in Him, we follow Him. He is everything for us. He is the chief cornerstone. We invite His Holy Spirit to work with us, to be with us right now in this place. And He is here by His presence, in His presence. We are the promised temple of the Lord, and He lives in us in His Holy Spirit. I can tell you the truth. We don't need a third temple in Jerusalem. Because we are the third temple. living temple. The Lord Yeshua chose His bride, His Kehillah, His body, the living temple. He wants to live with us. Not in the way He did in Moses' time. Not in a building constructed of physical building materials. But He wants to live in our hearts, inside a temple built of living stones. The Lord wants to walk in us, live in us, do His marvelous work in us and through us. This is His will. Now you together constitute the body of the Messiah, and individually you are parts of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, now I come to the main point of my message. This is the last main point. We are all different. Is it true or not? I'm happy that we are different. From many nations, from many places. So different. But we are together. And we have different talents. But for sure, we all are called to be part of the living congregations made by people filled with the Holy Spirit. How important to bring all your hearts to the Lord and be active in your faith. And here's the few questions. Do you remember what happened when Moses finished the tabernacle and brought sacrifices there? Presence of the Holy Spirit came in Israel. They weren't able to stand in the presence of the Lord. What happened when Solomon built Beit HaMikdash, the temple in Jerusalem? The glory of the Lord came upon all the people there. It is the same for us today, the same. We build the house of the Lord with our involvement, our time, our gifts, our hearts. And this is the place where the Lord wants to talk to us, heal us, change us. The congregation of believers is the place of expectation and faith. We are called to walk in the presence of the Ruach HaKodesh here in this place. I like the phrase, unexpected blessing from the Lord. I like this phrase. I heard many times people say, I came to the synagogue and the Lord touched me so unexpectedly. It was so unexpectedly. Worship was so spontaneously, so unexpectedly. Message was so unexpectedly good or so unexpectedly bad, it doesn't matter. Unexpectedly, unexpectedly, unexpectedly. I have a secret for you. Yes, but often unexpected blessings follow a long time and great preparation effort. Wow. We all come here and can feel a sweet presence of the Lord. His anointing touches us sometimes so unexpectedly. But in order for you and me to worship and glorify the Lord together, a lot of work has been done in this place. Unexpected miracles come from prayers, hard work, expecting the Lord, faith, trust in the Lord. We all brought our hearts, resources, time, and talents here so that the Lord would accept our sacrifice of praise and unexpectedly come to us. Amen. So I want to say thank you for your hearts and your time and your service to the Lord, your ministry. You are very important to the Lord and necessary to each other. So thank you very much for your hearts. Amen. I would like to pray in the end. Let us just for a minute close our eyes. And I would like to thank Lord for His presence in this place, for His miracles, for His mercy, for everything, for His protection, for His blessings, for His healings, for His provision in our lives. Lord, we thank you so much for Beth Israel, Lord. We thank you so much for your presence in this place. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we love to worship here. It is our place to be. We thank you for talents. We thank you for your mercies, We thank you for healings for everything, Lord. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. Please fill us, lead us, Lord. And Lord, help us to be a blessing to others, Lord. Help us to build this place that you will be present with us. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I would like to invite my wife, Rebbetzin Ina. And I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. Let us pray together. Such a wonderful place here to be. Yivrecha ha Adonai veishmarecha, Yer Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom. And I would like to invite Rachel. Can we stay for a minute?